Summer, Joe Bar, Rustavelli Avenue. This is TavilePod.com coming to you from our studios high atop Prospero's Books and Cafe. Today is Thursday, the 22nd of November. Happy Thanksgiving. Know the tribe that was chilling with the pilgrims? Bet you don't. The Wampanoag. On this date in 1858, Denver, Colorado was founded. In 1928, the premiere performance of Ravel's Bolero takes place in Paris. 1942, General Friedrich Paulus sends Adolf Hitler a telegram saying that the German 6th Army is surrounded. Uh-oh. 1943, Lebanon gains independence from France. In 1963, President John Kennedy is assassinated. In 1975, Juan Carlos is declared King of Spain following the death of Francisco Franco. Or as we like to call him on the podcast, El Generalissimo. 2005, Angela Merkel becomes the first female chancellor of Germany. Birthdays today are Charles de Gaulle, Terry Gilliam, and Scarlett Johansson. We are Cameron Christensen, Matthias Hooter, me, Mark Mullen. Nothing we say can or will be held against us or is connected with our employers, blah, blah, blah. My Georgian Journal and Kvitis Palithra article this week is about climate change and Georgia and how climate change is real and anyone who thinks it's not is dumb. Just met with the Minister of Environment, by the way. She seems very cool. I hope that there will be an environmental policy in Georgia, which to date there has not been.
So she's not dumb.
She's not dumb. She's not dumb. She didn't specifically say that climate change exists, but, you know.
You're just going to make assumptions.
Let's be real here.
She believes in science.
She believes in science, which is a step forward. So, GHN reported on November 19th that after looking into 220 cases, the Parliamentary Committee for Human Rights, chaired by Eka Beselia, has recognized 180 people as political prisoners and 22 as political refugees. Chiora Taktakishvili from the National Movement is one of the people on the commission, as is Pata Zakharishvili. So the committee's resolution says that a separate document will be created that will lay out legal mechanisms to release these individuals from jail. The political refugee category includes the former border police chief Badri Bitsadze, husband of Nino Borjanadze, as well as businessman Kibar Khalvashi and former Shida Kartli governor Michal Kareli and former defense minister Irakli Okoroshvili, who's no longer out of town.
Weren't there also civil society members who were contributing to these decisions? Because I'd read that they actually decided to not participate anymore.
Yes, in fact, the young lawyers pulled out and said, we're not going to participate in this. Because essentially what happened was Nana Kakabadze, who you'll remember, I think, was the accountant of the Mkhedrioni back in the old days, and has been sort of a human rights kind of hanger-arounder for many years.
Oh, no, we don't remember that. Sorry.
We don't remember that?
Oh, okay. My God.
I'm the only one who remembers that? Okay. Yeah, she was
calling people, yeah, and saying, like, this is who supports you and this is who doesn't.
Oh, my God, it's such a mess. I mean, so what happened was young lawyers came there and said, a political prisoner has a specific legal definition. And they came with their list and an enormous volume of research saying, okay, these people, fit that definition and here's who they were. These were people, connected with the 2007 demonstrations and some other stuff. Kakabadze said, okay, here's my list. And it was just a list of names, and they said, well, okay, where's the, who are they and what's the story? And they said, and she said, what's your problem, man? And it got a little heated. And so the young lawyers took off. And what happened is somebody, presumably Kakabadze, although nobody knows, called the families of those prisoners and says, young lawyers is against you, but I'm taking care of your interests, which is just... really horrible that anyone would do that. Obviously, these families are, worried and concerned or whatever else. The whole process has been really a mess so far. Now, Okoroshvili is no longer in exile. He has been gone since 2007, but came back 2 days ago was arrested upon arrival, and now they're taking a look at things. For those who don't know, Okurashvili was an important and senior individual in the period of the revolution. He then became several things. Was very much involved in the interior ministry and in the police reform very early on. If I remember correctly, he was actually the minister when the traffic police were fired
before Vano came.
Vano was security, and then security was merged into interior. And so anyway, then Okurashvili moved over to defense. Every other, retired Israeli colonel was showing up saying, look at these toys. And Okurashvili would say, great, give me 15 of them. Was really not only untransparent and was presumed to be making a lot of money on the side, but was also really aggressive related to South Ossetia and was, saying, I'm going to spend next New Year's in South Skhinvali and all of that stuff.
But on the note of the non-transparency, there was, of course, the four people who were on the group of trust. Let's not forget who were the ones that were reviewing all the military spending, saying that it was matters of state security. And so they had four parliamentarians who were the ones who were supposedly reviewing that.
I can't remember who was on that committee.
But they got Okurashvili because he was involved in Geocell at the time. He was basically running it, I think, and they found evidence that he had coerced some shareholder to give him basically the shares, and that's what he was in the end charged with, or at least part of the charges.
Oh, well, what happened was that he actually came out and said, I have evidence that Misha Saakashvili's uncle is, involved in all these corrupt deals, and essentially said, I have all this evidence, and then they arrested him, and then he was in jail for a couple days, and then he recanted everything on camera and then was released and then promptly fled to, I think, first Germany and then to France and was granted asylum there.
Yeah, he's also the only government official that I've found that has a Panamese shell company registered in his legal name.
His own name.
Well, that was big of him to have a shell company registered in his own name. Yeah, and then later on, I can't remember if it was the Paris airport or where, but he met up with Achalaya. Somehow they saw each other.
It was a hotel bathroom, I think.
Was it a hotel bathroom? Well, anyway, fisticuffs ensued. I don't know who got the worst side of the fisticuffs, but it was quite a mess.
Yeah, I believe that Okurashvili coming back will be a big test case for the government. Tietz Lukiani, the justice minister, this week said that they're starting to collect evidence, about Tbilisi mayor Gigi Ugolava. They're looking into if there are any potential charges. So they're looking into all these former UNM officials or current UNM officials. But if Okurashvili, who is currently in jail, but there will be a court hearing in the next couple of weeks, if there will be the decision that, without a long process, he is just released, I think it will be very difficult for the government to communicate to the Georgian public and the international community that what they're currently doing is, just going after the bad guys and not after the bad guys who happen to be in the wrong party.
But isn't the idea that they're going to be using a lot of his interrogation in order to implicate other people, and they'll probably make a deal with him on the side that says, we'll grant you immunity or something, and, as long as you give us all of this other detail?
I don't know.
It certainly seems like the people that they're going after are the ones that will have information. I mean, a lot of the people that they have arrested are Kudi types, the Constitutional Security Department, and that organization had become a very coercive and corrupt organization. I mean, it was kind of the armed wing of the party, it was a political, an armed political entity. I don't think too many people are too worried about those, that group getting pulled in. Some of the other people do seem to be people that will, that have had information. Certainly Okurashvili was high on the list of people that have information. And I don't know that it would have been very smart for him to have come back without having had some, preliminary conversation, certainly. Interpress News reported on the 15th that Shota Kizanashvili who was a deputy mayor and the former deputy interior minister, very close to Vano, and close to Vano Medabashvili, former interior minister, now the head of the National Movement Party, and current, then started working for current mayor Gigi Ugulava, was detained and accused of abusing official power for making secret recordings of conversations of Georgian Dream coalition members. You know, which is a little strange because this is an administrative position. I mean, so if you're going to go after him, I mean, why not just arrest Vano and say, well, this happened on your watch? I mean, it was the kind of thing that happened on his watch. He's not a technical guy. He didn't do it. And he also, within the Interior Ministry, was pretty calm. I mean, he was a, you know, he's a bureaucrat, a senior and important official, but he's not, he was never, you know, one of the sort of muscle guys who was, you know, going around threatening people, and nobody has ever, you know, accused him of that. So,
but maybe his signature was on the paper.
Yeah, could be, but I mean, presumably they would have started flashing around that piece of paper if that was the case. I mean, I don't know. There's not been a lot of paper, you know, shown yet, and there's been a lot of criticism of arresting people like him, and of course, the, you know, who we'll talk of later.
So you're suggesting, though, that they would offer the evidence that they have in advance of a trial?
No, but I mean, I'm saying that if they have proof of that, I'm surprised. Considering, I mean, if you have the Minister of Justice calling somebody who's not yet gone to trial, you know, namely Akhalaya, a monster, you know, it seems that they're not, you know, they're being a little casual about the presumption of innocence. So if they have evidence, you know, they would say, well, we have evidence of this. And I've not heard anybody say we have evidence of this. It's more, you know, it's sort of like the general that was, you know, that was, they arrested him. And then they said, you know, that you yelled at soldiers, essentially, as far as I can understand.
And locked them in a cold bathroom for 3 days. And I think that's part of the charge.
Yeah. So, okay, on November 18th, Tbilisi City Court handed out a 2-month pretrial detention for Kizunashvili. He's one of the 12 Ministry of Interior officials arrested for creating a computer virus which gave him access to PCs of the then opposition leaders during the campaign period. Now, the other people that were arrested were all, as far as I know, CUDI people, or the Constitutional Security Department. On a related note, according to Transparency International Georgia, the hardest working NGO in Georgia, the Ministry of Interior had installed technical equipment inside the telecommunications company that allowed the Ministry of Interior and its Constitutional Security Department, CUDI, and the Special Operations Department, SODI, which was sort of CUDI's
sister,
predecessor, you know, run by Kodua before Akhalaya, you know, I don't know, it's all personal, to directly and systematically monitor people's electronic communication. According to a company executive, this equipment remains in place after the elections, meaning now. TI Georgia hopes from the new government that this will end this illegal and systematic wiretapping, and that they will establish appropriate oversight for law enforcement and security services.
But what did we report about like 2 weeks ago? I thought they said that it was already illegal.
Well, always been illegal.
No, because there was the special provision where they said that they were allowed to, well,
yeah, the Constitutional Court agreed with Geila, who had said you need a court. Basically, the Constitutional Court said you need a court order in order to wiretap somebody. The problem is, if there's a direct connection into the telecoms, how is a court going to monitor, you know, who's going to monitor whom? They basically, it's impossible. If there's somebody in the CUDI sitting, you know, having all the access, able to monitor and record everybody.
I mean, they could be monitoring this conversation right now.
They could. Why would they?
Except that we're publicizing ourselves. Right. All right.
There's a funny, that'd be a little easier.
Yeah. One of the high-level CUDI officials who was arrested this week is the secretary of the CUDI, Ermalos Ebanoice. And there's in the Swiss daily newspaper, Der Tagesanzeiger, there's an interesting story about him today, because he, you know, is like one of the top 5 guys of CUDI. And he was the guy who was arrested by Swiss police in the summer. He had followed Ivanishvili's lawyer to Switzerland, mm-hmm. and he was apparently, you know, hanging out somewhere in a park where usually there were a lot of drug deals going on. So the police was, you know, there was all of a sudden this kind of foreign-looking guy. So they went to him and, like, you know, checked his ID, and it turned out he had all the surveillance stuff on him. And so they arrested him, and turned out he was a Georgian spy or a Georgian Ministry of Interior official. He spent 3 weeks in a Swiss jail and then was released on a minor bail.
Every day an adventure when Kuti goes to Switzerland. Now, back to the arrest. So Kalindadze, the head of the army, was indicted on new charges on November 19th, after he was originally arrested, as we reported, personally by the Minister of Justice, Teo Tsilikiani, and the whatever you call it, Defense Minister, Irakli Alasania.
They went there and arrested them?
No, he was called in, you know, in the morning, and said, you know, I think that he was told that they were going to pick up soldiers coming in from Afghanistan in the airport or something like that. He came in, and supposedly what Alasania said was that this was to avoid the embarrassment of going to his house or whatever else. But they came in, and then they had, you know, the Minister of Justice, the prosecutor there, and said, you know, here are the crimes against you. You know, that you locked somebody in a bathroom and, you know, I don't know, yelled at somebody or pulled their ear or something. And so there are new charges on the 19th relating to the illegal confinement of Zviad Absanadze, a member of the Kutaisi Police Special Task Force. The other thing that I heard was that because at this time they were negotiating who would be the head of the army, that this was sort of a way of Alasania sort of saying, like, you know, you just remember your place and, you know, what we can do. But it was this arrest specifically that freaked out NATO. And had Rasmussen and Barroso, you know, concerned about that. Anyway, the Tbilisi City Court rejected the prosecutor's office motion and released him without bail. So, I mean, you know, normally you don't arrest the head of the army for having, you know, done things that are serious, but not. I mean, let's be real. Not that serious. If he's about to, in the next few minutes, implement a coup or something, you arrest him. But, you know, if you're trying to get into NATO, you don't do that. Now, national movement people are saying that Georgia was very close to getting MAP, a membership action plan of NATO, which, personally, I doubt. But, you know, they were saying that it was in the works, and that when the arrests were made, NATO pulled back.
I also have heard that there was a big communications problem with Brussels. Ivanishvili has fired his whole lobbying crew in Brussels, and he doesn't trust the ambassador in Brussels, apparently, and the embassy. So he had nobody really who would communicate between, you know, the government and Brussels, and nobody would really organize stuff. And so he had one guy who organized the whole Brussels trip, and was apparently not perfectly organized. So there were a lot of hiccups with in terms of communication with NATO and EU.
Maybe that's what has to do with the cancellation of the American trip that I recently heard about. He was going to go to the U.S. Now it's first of the year. You know, what does this mean? I don't know.
Yeah, also you kind of have to have an invitation from that government to come over, right? And if, you know, Obama is planning to go to, you know, Burma or somewhere, Myanmar, then...
Right.
You, by the way, though, just, Mark, you just said that you would only arrest the head of the army if he was on his way to implement a coup. Maybe he was. Do we know? Maybe they stymied it.
Well, especially if they're listening to a bunch of phone calls, yeah, but, you know, one would presume that they would then use something, considering the amount of criticism that they've been at, you know, that if NATO then says, you know, or the American government says, hey, stop arresting officials, you know, they would say, you know, back down, you know, there's some serious issues going on right now.
No, yeah, but I mean, the only thing that we've heard, what have we heard coming out of the new government? We've heard, like, Bidzina Ivanishvili basically say, you know, we're just kind of following the rule of law and, you know, or, you know, restoring the rule of law. That's it, right? We haven't heard any sort of massive justifications.
Yeah, there have not been a lot of massive justifications so far. I mean, you know, the question is how much justification do they need, and where do they intend to go with this? I mean, do they intend to, you know, is the for the things that they're arresting people so far? They're not questioning people; they're actually arresting them, which, you know, seems to indicate that they're using arrests. I mean, they're going to court saying, we, you know, with flight risk, you know, these guys are going to stay in jail for a while, a few months. I mean, that's essentially. You know, that when you want information, you question them. When it's like you think that they've committed a crime and that they're, you know, you want to sweat them a little bit, you arrest them. The things that they're arresting people for, there's many, many thousands of people that could be arrested for those sorts of things. And so do they intend to arrest all those people and put them in jail? Or are they trying to get information and using arrest to do that? I mean, is it partial? I mean, it seems to be pretty partial. I mean, you know, they're not being that fair about who they're doing this to. They're trying to hit particular officials. Seems to me, tell me if I'm wrong, but, you know, when they're looking at, like, tapping phones and things like that, look, pretty clear violation of the criminal code, you know, when somebody tapes a phone call and then puts that on TV, which Nina Khatiskatsi did, and she's, you know, been proposed as parliament by the ombudsman, you know, so...
Let's not make this personal.
But hey, this is, you know, it's Georgia. It's always personal. I mean, no, like.
But I mean, who could they possibly arrest from the former administration that would not seem political now? Because everything was political before. I mean, the whole.
I mean, I think the question is what's the intention? Where are they going to go with this? Is this to? You know, if it's like, well, we're just all about the rule of law. Well, there are a lot of people that could be arrested in that case. Like the people that they're going after now. I mean, it really does seem pretty targeted. If it's that they want to, you know, sort of to illustrate the kinds of things that people in the national movement were doing in order to sort of politically neutralize it, that's understandable. We're still in a political situation, and there's a lot of, you know, bodies buried in the national movement's closet. I guess you can't bury something in a closet, but okay, you get the idea. Skeletons in the closet. Okay, whatever. Right? You know, but so what? You know, where does that end? Does it end with a whole lot of people being in prison? I mean, you know.
I don't know. I guess that's why I just think that the whole lack of justification and lack of kind of lots of commentary coming out of the new administration to be quite interesting, because there certainly seems to be a lot of criticism coming from the international community, and there does not seem to be a lot of, you know, no, we're doing all the right stuff. This is it. You know, I mean, they're just going about it, you know, and continuing to do it. And I mean, for us sitting here, I think we're all kind of like, wow, you know, when's it going to stop? And, really, who's next?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there are people waiting around right now thinking like, you know, am I going to get the knock on the door?
Right. And they prioritize people who tapped phone lines over people who, you know, beat up somebody, kidnapped somebody, maybe killed somebody.
Yeah.
So like, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Data Khalaya, the former head of the Constitutional Security Department, Kudi. Will be indicted in absentia for abuse of power. Ministry of Interior on Wednesday said that it detained Gegi Kelbakiani, former head of the Georgian Water and Power and current director of the construction company NNC, and Archil Chogovadze, the company's financial manager, on charges of money laundering. Police said it's investigating how these individuals were able to build luxury villas close to Tbilisi and how they were able to own the Buda Bar in the Rike. If found guilty, the two face up to 12 years in prison.
The NCC is building basically the whole Rike area. So the two tubes, in case you've wondered what that
what
is,
those are.
That's like, it's going to be a theater or some kind of stage.
The two tubey things
underneath the presidential palace. And that was built by NNC. And apparently it's not very popular with Georgian Dream people. It's
certainly weird looking.
You know, just yesterday I noticed for the first time about how the presidential palace is not lit up. And I find that to be very interesting.
The New York Times published an article on November 19th about the American response to the recent high-level arrests in Georgia. The piece states that American officials have urged the new prime minister to stop the arrests of officials who served under Misha, warning that politically motivated prosecutions could jeopardize Georgia's chances of joining NATO. End quote. That was a quote, actually, except for the Misha part. And like I said, Tedo Japaridze, who's with BI these days, said that he was Georgia's ambassador to Washington for many years under Shevardnadze, said that the U.S. is just embarrassed at the arrests, and that the U.S. was in bed with Misha and company. I'll be honest, I think that he's got a point. I mean, that a lot of these things were happening, you know, under Bush, and, you know, there was essentially a policy of no public criticism of the regime. And that was, you know,
is
that
it
was
the regime now.
The regime, yeah, we can call it the regime now. I said regime before, kind of kinda. And I think that was a problem for people that were criticizing it. You know, they didn't. The U.S. government didn't offer too much support. I mean, on the other hand, I think, okay, forgetting about history and just talking about right now, it's you know, I don't know whether these are such a good thing. I mean, I think they're right in terms of NATO aspirations and everything else.
The whole NATO and MAP thing, I mean, like, how many... They've got so few carrots to dangle in front of Georgia right now that, like, I'm just... The NATO and the MAP thing are just really amazing to me, you know? Like, who thinks that Georgia's going to join NATO? Who thinks that Georgia's going to get MAP? I mean, we're always just about to get MAP, right?
Not the countries who just signed the Gazprom deal to build the South Stream pipeline, like Bulgaria. Exactly.
What kind of threat is this? I mean, I don't know. It just makes no sense
Fair
to
enough.
Me.
I think there's a sad element of truth to that. Prime News Agency report on today that BI held a press conference where he said that the government has fulfilled its main promise to restore the rule of law in the country. He also said that, of course, crime will go up when people are released from prisons, but that the public should be understanding about that.
What?
What I heard. That's what I heard.
That's not in quotes for listeners.
Yeah, that's not in quotes. That's what I heard. Despite promises, BI declared electricity and gas prices will not be halved. Pensions and public welfare payments will be increased in 2013. He also intends to establish an investment and agricultural development fund. Several people are worried about that. I mean, what he said was, as I understand it, was that there'll be a fund and he'll contribute, if there's some 25% investment, he'll contribute 75%. The fund will contribute 75%. But what does that mean for competitors? I mean, if you don't have any money from Ivanishvili's fund and your competitors do and he's the prime minister, you know, that could be a little frightening.
Okay, fine, if he's the prime minister. But, I mean, we just talked about, what, last week or the week before about how they wanted to open up this, they wanted to expand what chain was it? Smart, right? The Smart supermarket chain. And they got a big, you know, loan from... as you're saying, OPIC, but I say EBRD, right?
Both.
And that the whole point is that they said they wanted to increase competition. And, I mean, so there's not the same thing there? I mean, there's not some sort of...
Well, you might enjoy some administrative privileges if the prime minister is a shareholder in your agricultural company, don't you think?
Why is he a shareholder?
Or if his money
is
involved.
His money, and he would fund a fund, and so businesses could get money from that fund. So let's say one business gets money from that fund, you know, and is having complications with tax or licensing or the police or I don't know what. You know, it's a little bit easier for them to pick up the phone, and you know, if their main either shareholder or lender is the prime minister, and say, you know, hook me up, guys. I mean, I think it's a reasonable concern.
Sure, that's a concern then. It's not competition then. We're not talking about, you know, like adding competition to the market. We're talking about having access.
Well, the way to add competition to the market is to get rid of monopolies. But, you know, that's another question. So, on November 19th, Berlin-based daily newspaper, Der Tagesspiegel, what is that? Can you help us out there?
Der Tagesspiegel.
Der Tagesspiegel published an interview with Bidzina Ivanishvili in which he says, quote, I only have French citizenship, and according to Georgian law, that is sufficient for being prime minister. If I were to become a Georgian citizen again, that would violate the Constitution. I would be dismissed as prime minister. That's what the Georgian Constitution says. It's ridiculous. We will change that. Like many other things, the Parliament is already working on changing the Constitution. We'll bring order to the Constitution, end quote.
And you hear it here on Bilpot First that Bidzina is still not a Georgian citizen. I think nobody has actually picked up that story other than us.
Yeah, and Der Stiegel, Hoover.
But right. I think, you know, that it might indicate a certain disregard for the Constitution, that the Constitution might
continued be... continued disregard.
That the new government sees the Constitution as, you know, this stupid, annoying document that happened to be written by the previous parliament. And so it doesn't really matter that much because we, you know, we can change it if we want to, and we will change
Same
it.
Same attitude.
Well,
that,
but okay, as I read this quote, assuming that it's accurately translated, I don't think that's quite fair. I mean, I think that, you know, the fact of the matter is the Constitution has been, you know, treated ridiculously by the former government.
All over,
yes. When they had the constitutional majority and they did whatever they want. And so there does need to be order brought to it. I mean, I don't think this necessarily means that they're not going to take this seriously. Let's see if they do it legally. There is, you know, the public consultation that there should be. You know, they don't have a constitutional majority, so they will have to sort of, you know, pull somebody over their sides and, you know, if they do it right. And I don't think that he's saying that. There is, of course, that danger that they will treat the Constitution the way the former government has, but...
I don't understand why he didn't accept Georgian citizenship a few days before he was nominated prime minister.
I don't know. He could have done that. And I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but
Misha
he's wrong.
Said,
I mean, he doesn't. He could have. I mean, he could have. Misha said that I will give it to you.
Yeah, he must have. I mean, like, he's not allowed to be prime minister having only French citizenship. I mean, there's basically everybody agreed on that, even
right.
people from his party. And this creates now a risk where, you know, if the constitutional court has a bad day, I don't know.
Right.
I don't really know how that would work. But,
right.
you know, or the army has a bad day.
There
and says, like, there's a guy running the
right.
government who is not even a citizen and who is not...
And
they just protect the Constitution.
The Constitutional Court is in Batumi, so they could, like, you know, say, like, hey, you're not really prime minister, and then hop in their cars and bolt for Sarpi, you know?
Hide in their duchess that they all got. Yeah.
Okay, on November 18th, the Tbilisi Heritage Group, .co.uk, reposted design photos for the Millennium Hotel, the glass and steel structure, which will be built on top of the Imeli building. It'll be significantly taller than the Radisson Blue. On the same blog, they detailed the procedures for planning in Tbilisi's historic district, which resemble an enforced gentrification program. Developers, not city urban planners, spearhead these projects with virtually no community consultations and little or no transparency. For more info on this, check out georgiafiles.wordpress.com, Fulbright or Angela Wheeler's blog on the subject, or Google Georgia Files WordPress.
Files as in, like, lovers of,
like,
not,
yes,
not
in,
as in paper files.
P-H-I-L-E-S. So, special thanks to the International Council on Monuments and Sites, ICOMOS, for the following insider information about Tbilisi's historic, and I'm using air quotes here, preservation. A developer can pay 2,000 lari, which is about 1,300 bucks, U.S. dollars, for an instability permit, which legally states that a historic building is unstable, allowing the developer to gut the building. After the building is demolished and recreated in plaster, concrete, styrofoam, dental floss, and hanger wire, the building can still be listed on the historic register if it's somewhat sort of similar.
Okay, first off, there's almost no styrofoam in this country, and I want to see someone besides me who uses dental floss. Where
you want to talk to somebody who uses dental floss?
Find me. No, I just really wonder who they're getting these permits from the
you
city.
You really have beautiful teeth, Cameron.
It's the floss man.
Yeah.
No, but who are they buying these permits from?
What do you mean from the city? They just go there.
They
I mean, look, this happens all the time. They just
Hawk?
Say like, "Oh, it's not stable." I mean, this is the oldest trick in the book. They've been doing it for years. Since the revolution, that somebody will own a building and they'll just punch some holes in the roof so that there'll be rain damage, and they say, "Oh, well, it's such a mess. You know, nobody's taking care of the building." I mean, it's certainly much more expensive to fix the building than it would be to, you know, tear it down and, you know, build something with styrofoam or, you know, poorly mixed concrete. Who knows? But you know, still, it's just a, you know, it's a bad precedent. In this particular, the Imeli building is a classic example. That was a very, very solid building, but
yeah.
It's been sort of half destroyed and the roof's been sort of, you know, pulled out of shape, whatever.
Well, there definitely have been a number of buildings that have collapsed in the old town. I mean, I'm not sure if someone went and made them collapse, but there were certainly lots of damage.
There are especially wood buildings. There are some that are in very bad shape, and what needs to be done with them is another question. And I do think that the people that care about historical preservation have been somewhat flippant in considering, you know, what the property owners want and what business would need and whatever else. The problem is just that, you know, the people that want to keep the old buildings around, which is something that you could argue is of great value to the city and to Georgia, that's disappearing. There was no real conversation about
that.
Right, I mean,
right.
The developers just won.
Well, the lack of public consultation is a big issue.
And transparency.
Yeah. One thing I've seen after the elections is that on some construction sites, at least the blue signs are back. So on Purpur Square, for example, now at least we see, you know, there's a graphic of or the picture of what
this is.
Is
it just the graphic, or do they also say, here's who owns this thing and here's
no,
who owns
here's there's, it? No, it's the Irao group who is building it. This is the permit number. This is
okay,
like the,
that's,
so that,
well,
that
that's right.
Stuff is
if, because I've seen them post, you know, here's how great this is going to look, but absolutely
right,
no information
right.
about,
yeah.
you know, who's
yeah.
actually doing the project. Following up on last week's story about the miners' strike in Tribouli, Prime News Agency reports on November 19th that the miners of the Titiguri coal mine began striking when they learned that the mine may be closed. 45 protesters are inside the mine, 300 meters below the surface. They demand an answer from the government commission as to whether the mine will be closed or not. Interpress News reported on November 20th that employees of Telasi expressed solidarity with the other Telasi employees who were dismissed illegally. They're striking to demand that those fired employees be rehired. Several employees were on a hunger strike in a tent outside Telasi's headquarters in Tbilisi from November 14th until they met with Energy Minister Kaja Kaladze on November 20th. Oh, my God. City in front of Telasi. It's like, you know, 1998 all over again. And Mike Scully, for those of you who've not seen it, see Power Trip. Just, like, type Power Trip in Tbilisi or something like that. It's a great documentary about Tbilisi back in the old days.
But, wait, I don't remember who was dismissed illegally.
Well, people were dismissed illegally,
or they were dismissed legally according to Georgian law, which allows you to basically dismiss people.
According to Georgian law, you can fire anyone whenever you want.
So they weren't dismissed illegally, probably.
No, they were morally illegally dismissed.
Illegally dismissed means whenever it's labor talking about it that they're just angry that they were dismissed. Why they were dismissed, I don't really know, but, you know, that's whether the employer has a right to do that or not, you know, according to Georgian law, they do. Following up on last week's story about street vendors in Tel Aviv, livepress.ge reported on November 19th that the traders met with the head of Zugdidi municipality, and the director of Zugdidi market and police chief. They reached an agreement and trading will last until January 1st. GBC reported on November 21st that BI has set up a special commission to explore the problems between employers and employees. It is chaired by Ivanishvili. Others in the commission include economy minister, environment minister, regional development minister, finance, interior, as well as the still around employment minister and health minister. So basically it's the entire government. Interpress News reported on November 22nd that Misha pardoned 519 prisoners.
That's a lot of people.
That is a lot of people.
Those are the people that are going to be causing problems.
Yeah, oh yeah, whoever he let out. Well, we'll see. Okay, pardoning commission has given positive recommendations to less than half of the 1,400 cases.
No, because there have been lots of prisoners that have been released lately, right? I mean, there have been those prisoners that were released, 2 weeks ago or something? They talked about those people who had served 2/3 of their sentences or something, or it had, you know, only a certain amount of crime or whatever. I don't know. But there have been a lot of prisoners released, so that's why the quote by BI surprised me a little bit, you know, that there's going to be more crime.
I would assume
he's referring to Misha's releases rather than his own.
I don't know. I think it was just sort of an offhand comment about, you know, getting all the people. I mean, there's just so many people in jail right now that, you know. Black Sea, and there seems, I mean, anecdotally, I'm hearing more about crime now, and I don't think it's just the national movement saying, like, oh, there's a big crime wave. I mean, I hear about, you know,
foreigners having their purse stolen.
My wallet's gone.
Where, when your wallet?
Sunday.
Gone? Yeah, where, how?
Sunday in Old Town.
In a bar somewhere.
Oh, yeah? I've heard, like, if somebody got their windows broken in their car, you know, like, so there seems to be more of that kind of just crime, you know, stuff happening these days. Black Sea Press report on November 21st that Misha underwent a medical examination in an Italian sanatorium. Journalist and TV anchor Tina Candelaki and her blog claimed that this 1 week of rest cost 1,500 euros, according to the president's spokesman, Manana Manjgaladze, not a tetri was spent from the state budget. Wonder where that came from. Bulgaria last week became the final Balkan state to reach an agreement with Russia on the construction of the South Stream gas pipeline. According to the Financial Times, Gazprom and other shareholders, Italy Eni, Germany's Wintershall and France's EDF, will begin construction on the Black Sea section of the pipeline on December 7th.
And I wanted to mention this because it sounds like bad news for Georgia. So the South Stream is a Gazprom Russian project, and it will bring Russian gas to Europe, and it's a direct competitor to the Austrian-backed Nabucco pipeline, which was supposed to bring gas from Central Asia and Azerbaijan to Europe, and that through Georgia.
Bypassing Russia.
Bypassing Russia, exactly. So if South Stream is started very quickly, then Nabucco becomes even less realistic and feasible, and the project might finally die or, you know, like be scaled down significantly. But also in this past week, Azerbaijan and Turkey signed an agreement to build the Trans-Anatolian gas pipeline, TANAP, and that one will run through Georgia, and it's supposed to bring Azeri gas to Turkey, and from Turkey then there will be some kind of Nabucco pipeline to bring it to the EU. So, you know, we'll see which project wins, kind of. I don't think...
South Stream is a gas or oil pipeline?
It's gas. It's all Gazprom stuff.
I mean, I think, Nabucco, like, I don't know. The people that I know who know about these things have just been saying Nabucco's going nowhere for a long time.
Because they don't have enough gas. That's the problem.
It's gone nowhere for a long time.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't know. Evidently, the Turks negotiated very hard. And I don't know. Somehow, it just never seemed to have gotten particularly good traction. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure why. But that's bad news, because it would be a good thing for the world. Not to be, paranoid, but I can imagine that that Gazprom was, looking very carefully at, who needed support and who needed money not to support, at the detailed level in all the various national governments. Rustam Yodi reported on November 16th that the kidnapping and murder of Levan Kaladze, brother of Energy Minister Kaladze, will be reinvestigated, according to the lawyer Irma Shkadua. Levan Tsintsadze, the man who was sentenced to 25 years for the murder and kidnapping of Levan Kaladze, alleges that the evidence in the case was forged. Interpress News reported on November 16th that news photographers Gia Abdaladze and Irakli Gedenidze and Zurab Kurtsikidze, who were tried for espionage in 2011, are going to demand that the prosecutor's office reinvestigate their case. Yeah, of all of the different cases that, that happened during the national movement, this was just the most ridiculous. I mean, so obviously and clearly fabricated against them as spies. I mean, and really, really horribly done. There was a tape about, with one of their wives, with I think it was Misha or Vano, talking about, her requesting that they not be poorly treated in prison. I mean, it was just a really dark, dark chapter. News.ge reported on November 20th that Justice Minister Teodosia Lukiani has named the heads of her subordinate agencies. Eka Kereselidze will head the public registry. Mikhail Sarjveladze will head the National Bureau of Enforcement, and State Services Development Agency will be chaired by Levan Samadashvili.
I think Thea Zulukiani is not sleeping.
Yeah. Has anybody heard anything of the 80 million lari that Bidzina got back from the Enforcement Bureau? So it was the payment
that was supposed to go to Kakheti?
To the budget, and then it was transferred back to him. Recently?
No idea. NetGazeti.ge reported on November 20th that Kacha Giorgioliani, Nina Khatiskatsi's husband, was elected acting Gamgabeli of Mestia. Khatiskatsi is candidate for public defender.
So, but he had also been in jail before the elections, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, yes. Imprisoned shortly
before several elections.
He was going in and out of jail for a while, politically motivated, as Transparency International had written about. Prime News Agency report on November 19th that Georgia and Kazakhstan's debts may be reconsidered. Minister of Energy Kaladze declared Kaztrans gas owes 80 million lari to the Georgian Oil and Gas Corporation, and Georgia has obligations to Kazakhstan, so it's possible to swap the debt.
Sounds like a good idea.
Sounds good. GHN reported on November 19th that the Ministry of Foreign Affairs began working on the problem of 12 Georgian sailors stuck in the Panama Canal. Sailors are on board the Maria del Carmen II vessel that was damaged, and the government of Panama will not allow it to leave because it could sink. The Nigerian owner of the vessel refused to repair the damaged boat and canceled contracts with the sailors.
So they're literally sitting in the Panama Canal, is like,
I don't know. Like, can ships honk?
Yeah, they have these things.
They certainly can.
Oh, yeah. Prime News Agency reported on November 19th that a major in the Security Committee was killed in the occupied Tsikhinvali region and criminal investigation was begun. Major General Vladimir Kozaev's body was found in Erzo and his car was found 2 kilometers away. News.ge reported on November 13th that the receipt lottery ended. The official reason is not enough financial resources and project inefficiency. The project began on April 18th to increase the government's VAT revenue.
And I want to say this was one of the best, in my opinion, one of the best projects of the previous government was this VAT lottery. The electronic receipts that communicate directly through cell phone networks with the finance ministry. All taxes are immediately recorded, no bureaucracy. I thought that was a really good project. And getting rid of this lottery, which, you know, a lot of people requested when they bought vegetables, can at least have the receipt because then they could check, go online and see if they want some cash. I think that was a really good project. And it's a shame that that they ended it. And my personal perception is that fewer shops hand out the receipts now.
Yeah,
and
anecdotally, actually, talking to friends, I really think that fewer people are handing those out. And I think it'll hit VAT revenues. And this is an example. I mean, I think this was a good program. It was a good idea, and it at least seemed to be working well. And I hope that they're not going to junk other programs just because they were, you know, programs of the national movement.
And I know we have a lot of listeners among the Greek government and the IMF. And I think that's, you know, if a country like Greece would, like, you know, try something like that, it could have a very positive impact.
How much were people winning?
Not much. And that was apparently one of the things that people got frustrated because they wouldn't. The rumor on the street is that they wouldn't give money to people in Tbilisi. Only poorer people in the regions would be able to win.
Oh, there wasn't fair.
People were not perceiving it was fair and that they had a fair chance of winning.
Sarkey Information Agency reported on November 12th that the National Food Agency will be headed by Zurab Chekudashvili, who's deputy head of the Agricultural Unit of the USAID-funded Economic Prosperity Initiative, EPI.
Also known as the biggest success in Georgian development history.
You're kidding me.
No. They're trying to do
good
work.
Yes, he is kidding you.
Yeah. Yeah. Also sometimes known as DEPI, the Deloitte Prosperity Initiative. Chekudashvili will replace David Koberidze, who held this post since June 2010. Prime News Agency reported on November 20th that the Republic of Korea has a new ambassador to Georgia with residence in Baku. That is Choi Suk-in. Welcome, Ambassador Choi.
Whenever you decide to come.
Yes, whenever you decide to come, come soon. Interpress News reported on November 22nd that Kote Gabashvili, Georgian ambassador to Italy, resigned from his diplomatic office. Gabashvili said that he will make an explanation for this decision when he arrives in Georgia. Gabashvili has been in several governments. He was a Georgia's ambassador to Germany under Shevardnadze, was then the head of the Foreign Relations Committee in Parliament for many years. He's a very talented linguist. He's also the father of Goka Gabashvili, who is the head of the Education Committee in Parliament under the National Movement, and was the guy who ran Zurajvanya's campaign in 2002 and 3. Media.ge reported on November 16th that the owner of 10% of Imedi's shares, Joseph K., remember Joseph K., the famous long-lost cousin, gave up his shares to Ina Gudavadze for one lari, making Gudavadze the sole owner of a Georgian media production group. In total, Imedi founder Badri Patrikatashvili's widow paid 4 lari for returning the TV company.
Yeah, I would have paid more.
What? Yeah. No, she did not pay 4 lari think of all of the lawyer's fees and everything.
According to the business registry, the former owner of the company, Gheorghe Arveladze, Gheorghe Mikeladze, and Gheorghe Korakashvili, sold a total of 90% of the shares to Gudavadze for 3 lari.
That's awesome.
Yeah, what a bargain. Media.ge reported on November 16th that Misha announced a competition to select a member of the Board of Trustees of Channel 1. According to the law on broadcasting, a candidate must be a person enjoying public recognition and trust who has higher education and 5 years of work experience.
It's up to Georgian public broadcaster, not just Channel 1.
Ah, okay, of the public broadcaster, yeah. Right. Media.ge reported on November 16th that a Georgian language TV channel will be launched on Peak TV's station's frequency. Which channel will take the frequency is unknown. They also report on November 16th that the new channel, which is the name of the channel, will change format and become the Comedy Channel starting December 1st.
This is like a Rustavi 2 owned thing.
Yeah, well, interesting to see how funny they end up becoming.
There's a Tbilisi comedy club also opening up.
That's right.
Comedy Rama is coming to Georgia.
That's right. Rama's Blushvili, who's head of the archives and an all-around cool guy, is starting up that comedy club. Be interesting to see how it goes. They're going to have an English night, so our listeners will be kept informed.
If they want to do an English political night, we can do it.
Hey, man, we're here for you. You know,
everybody's going to love.
We have to make sure that no vegetables are allowed.
No eggs either. Vegetarians here.
Sarkey Information Agency report on November 21st that the Tbilisi Transport Company has lost 17 million lari for 2011. Overall, the company provided service to 145 million passengers during 2011. 57% of this was on the subway, the rest on buses. Sarkey Information Agency report on November 19th that the National Communication Commission fined Caucuses Online 5,000 lari for having video on demand which were not authorized to provide to subscribers for their IPTV broadcasting service, Caucuses TV.
Well, I guess there has been often disputes about, cable companies showing channels that they don't have permission to show, so they violate copyright. They just steal content. Yeah. And in the past, there have been accusations that the regulator enforces it very selectively, that they go after some companies who do it, they check some companies, and some companies can get away with it for
right.
a time.
So 5,000 lari to Caucuses Online, I guess they'll be entering bankruptcy proceedings any minute now.
Yeah, and we don't know who owns Caucuses Online, so that's...
Does anybody know who owns it? Is it Halal, right?
It's like 30% is still him, but the other 70 is, shell company constructions.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Okay, after Tbilisi Art Academy rector Irena Popiashvili was replaced by Tina Kuldiashvili on November 13th, students began protesting the government's ability to choose new rectors. They demand that the rector be chosen by the students, which, I don't know whether that's such a great idea, but certainly there's some concerns about Popiashvili leaving, who seemed to have been fairly good.
I want to find a country where the students elect the rector.
Yeah, exactly. Gudian News reported on November 15th that representatives of Green Alternative, the NGO, and Gudian News journalists were taking photos and videos of a Turkish company, Bahri 3 hydroelectric station, when three people followed them in a car and asked them to leave the territory, this despite no sign prohibiting them from entering the site. In September, there was a small landslide that destroyed the main building of the plant. Sarkey Information Agency report on November 20th that the Regional Development Ministry submitted materials to the prosecutor's office about land plots in Ajada. The story is that the government sold the land to Millennium Trans for 7 tetri per square meter in June 2008, which the government later brought back at 12 tetri per square meter. It is alleged that the government knew in May 2008 that this land would be required for the construction of a bypass road. EU monitoring mission, which let me confirm that Beelpod.com loves and thinks is important, has a tender out to procure medical emergency services for the next year. They want somebody with one ambulance and physicians to accompany all EUMM convoys and missions. The tender is worth 1.8 million euro. So all you listeners in the health insurance sector out there, start bidding, bring the price down, and save our European friends some cash. They're already broke and could really use it right now. It will certainly be helpful for them in case of emergency to have a doctor with them wherever they go. Interpress News reported on November 22nd that specialists will arrive in Kutaisi soon to study the amount of oxygen in the new parliament building because employees of parliament have started complaining about a lack of air, the smell of glue and acetone, and a general feeling of...
You're just walking around passing out.
I don't know if that's the air quality or just the level of discussion, but yeah. Apparently it doesn't have a lot of windows.
Yeah.
And it has a lot of smokers, and that's a bad combination.
Yeah.
So people smoke inside the building, and apparently
with acetone. Does acetone light on fire?
Yeah, it was also reported that during a meeting of the Healthcare and Social Issues Committee, a light fell down from the ceiling of the room. Oh gosh! So RK News Agency reported on November 20th that Levon Chikvaidze, the new Director General of the Georgian Post Office, declared that for the first stage of the company's reorganization, service centers will be renovated and the quality of service improved. This will be done over the next 2 months.
And you, we are at billboard.com. We're big friends of postal services. I'm proud to say I used to work as a mailman before.
Right, exactly. You know, that's understandable.
So I hope that enterprise goes well, I hope.
Yeah, exactly. Post offices are important, and this one didn't really work for a while. So let's hope they get it right. You know, and Matias can be out there unionizing the postal
workers.
They've
got awesome mopeds right now.
Yeah, a lot of those mopeds. Yeah. The American Georgia Business Council's 15th annual conference will take place on December 12, 2012. The council will cover investment and trade in Georgian energy, infrastructure, financial services, agribusiness, wine, and tourism. In a blog post entitled Mexican Standoff in Georgia about High-Level Government Arrests, and in his dart-throwing chimp blog, American political scientist and all-around smart dude Jay Uhlfelder quoted to BeelPod.com's very own Cameron Christensen.
Woo-hoo.
Check out Dart Throwing Chimp blog. It really is a very, very interesting interesting blog.
And I think one of the arguments he has in that blog post is that if the government maybe steps too far, arrests too many high-level officials, former high-level officials, you know, some people in the army might get nervous and, you know, think about taking some steps in order to protect themselves from being the next people.
Yeah, absolutely. He's an expert on, you know, on regime change and modeling that and thinking about that. Yeah. And sort of knows a lot about it from an international perspective. And that's certainly worth looking at. And the comments are quite interesting in his recent Georgia post. On November 16th, Tom Duvall published a very interesting piece about worrying about the wrong neighbor. In it, Duvall argues that the new government's policy towards Russia isn't going to change much from the UNM's policy despite concerns. However, the nationalist wing of the Georgian Dream and its anti-Turkish sentiments, especially in Batumi, could harm a valuable Georgian-Turkish relationship cultivated under Misha. To his credit, Turkish imports into Georgia are 10 times as large as trade going in the other direction, by the way. Black Sea Press reported on November 19th that Robert Studo, the well-known theater director, will officially return to the Rustaveli Theater. Studo was dismissed from his post by former culture minister Nikush Urdua in August 2011 for making snarky comments about Armenians. After his dismissal, Studo worked as a visiting principal director at some place in Moscow. Sarkey Information Agency reported on November 16th that the leading book travel publishing company Lonely Planet named Georgia as one of the top 10 countries in its best value destinations for 2013.
Cool.
Interpress News reported on November 16th that Georgia's 50th in the Forbes list of best countries for business. New Zealand tops the list, next Denmark, then Hong Kong. Forbes determines the list by grading 141 countries on 11 different factors: property rights, innovation, taxes, technology, corruption, freedom, investor protection. Turkish discount airline Pegasus is now flying between Istanbul and Batumi. Flights go four times a week. The cost for a flight starts at 50 euros. Now, for those going to Istanbul, take a look at the Georgian trains, because the train to Batumi is really fantastic and pretty quick. And if you've got the time to take the, you know, whatever it is, 4-hour train now to Batumi, could be cheaper to take the train, go to Batumi, and then fly to Istanbul if you're going there.
Or take the 40-hour bus ride, or like 36-hour or something like that.
Yeah, or ride your bike.
Yes.
Too.
Or Yerepechit.
Sarkey News Agency reported on November 21st that Borjomi is ready to return to the Russian market. That would be Borjomi the water, not Borjomi the town. Borjomi officials...
Almost the same thing.
Borjomi officials applied to Gennady Onishenko, the cynical but goofy head of the Russian Sanitary Service.
Our friend who has like all these great theories about why something can't be sold in Russia.
Yeah, he's just a really preposterous character. He's the head of the Russian Sanitary Service. He's asking to resume consideration of Borjomi registration on the Russian market and plan Russian experts' visit to Georgia to conduct necessary inspection of bottling factories. Whatever. Commerce.ge reports on November 20th that the Buddha Bar is not going to change its location. It opened on the Rikhe, underneath the Rikhe, and caused a reaction from people because it was built on the site where the 100,000 martyrs were tortured. Church of the 100,000 Martyrs will supposedly be built in the vicinity.
And as we discussed, its owners were arrested this week.
And who tortured the martyrs?
Must have been the Persians. They were always doing that. No idea.
Mongols?
Mongols.
Where's Dunbar when you need
it?
Exactly. No. Dunbar knows about that stuff. Dunbar, write in and tell us who tortured the martyrs. Tabula reports that Kaha Bekaudi, director of Ivanishvili's Channel 9, was elected president of the Georgian Shooting Federation on November 20th.
Yeah, and we're always big about sports federations and hobby clubs and who is leading them.
Exactly.
And who's appointed to.
Yeah, you can always tell a lot from that because money shows up for those things. You know, they end up having influence and, you know, certainly the world's most corrupt organization, the International Olympic Federation, you know.
Do they have a shooting range here?
Why, you
want
to go?
Who needs a shooting range?
Who needs a shooting range? You know, that's exactly. There's, you know, there's Tatsminda. So, each podcast we feature GeoCapital Number of the Week. GeoCapital is Georgia's best microfinance organization. Disclosure, I'm a shareholder. This week, the number is 8,500, which is the number of tons of carrots that were produced in Georgia in 2011. This is up from 1,200 tons in 2006, pointing to an impressive cumulative annual growth rate of 48% in the production of carrots. Over those same years, we also see a growth in the production of cucumbers, but a decrease in the production of tomatoes. One wonders how this has influenced the composition of Khitri Pomodori Salati Nigzit, one of my favorites.
With carrots? No.
Carrots
are not
involved.
No, carrots are not involved. Okay. Unless, you know, I don't know.
It's like some avant-garde.
Exactly. Although, speaking of avant-garde, I just heard that there is a new culinary school at as a part of Bendukidze's agricultural university. And that, you know, there's now going to be the new
cooking show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Johnson Wales. I don't want to say CIA because nobody knows that there's actually the Culinary Institute of America, you know, in addition to the other one. But that will be something to watch. And they're also offering cooking lessons to amateurs, not just to, you know, students. So for those who want to make the hike up to Nitsibidze and Free University, something to think about. A correction and an apology. On last week's podcast, I made a comment, what the heck is Georgian News TV? And we incorrectly stated
that was probably me. I incorrectly said that
it was owned by 24 Hours, Oto Otrisati. The outlet affiliated with 24 Hours is news.ge.
TV.
Georgia News TV, however, is owned by Politra, which owns Kvitis Politra and Georgian Journal, where I have my weekly column, and kindly features Tbilpod.com on their site. So, Georgia News TV, our apologies.
Don't say we won't bite the hand that feeds us.
We will actually bite the hand that feeds us, like, you know, whenever we feel like it or are confused or uninformed.
Or just so don't think about what we're saying.
Yeah, or just ignore us, frankly. We really don't know, actually. Okay, this week's Kolgov's movies on Friday, November 23rd, that's tomorrow, Everyone Says I Love You from 1996. Don't know anything about that. On the 26th, Monday, that's Manhattan Murder Mystery from 1993. On Wednesday, November 28th, is Deconstructing Harry. All movies at 8 o'clock, Dom Kino, across from Rustaveli Metro, and right next to Shemoycha de Ganatswali, a great Georgian restaurant, by the way. The 13th Tbilisi Annual Film Festival is coming up December 3rd through 9th. Be sure to stay tuned for listings. They've not put up the schedule yet, and that'll probably come out just the week before in a couple of days.
It's $2 per ticket. I wish they would have it outside of Tbilisi, too.
That would be Lari for anyone who doesn't know what gels are.
Sorry.
Fulbright scholar Angela Wheeler will be giving a lecture in Tbilisi's historic preservation, or lack thereof, on Wednesday at 6:15 in ISET.
That's up from McDonald's, where the Goethe Institute is.
Exactly. Just go up from McDonald's right past the Goethe Institute. The McDonald's by Rustaveli Metro. The 15th Tbilisi International Jazz Festival is currently being held till November 25th with Chick Corea and other big shots. Take a look. On November 30th, Tbilisi Grand Concert Hall will host Winter Gala Dinner and Dance. Prizes and auction items donated from vendors, artists, and craftspeople across Georgia will be part of the evening. It is $100 per person, but goes to charity. Write to Nicole, N-I-C-H-O-L, at thenoegroup.com. That is the, N-O-E, group.com. Charlotte Gainsborough, the object of obsession bordering on stalking by a close friend of tobeopod.com, is in Georgia to film a movie. Photos of her in Tbilisi have been circulated around the internet, and someone's obviously watching. According to umbebby.ge, she will play one of the main roles in the Georgian-French movie Jackie in the Woman's Kingdom, directed by Papuna Davitaya. From the Georgian side, Michelle Hazavinkius will be the main character in the movie, which will be shot in Paris and Georgia. They're filming in the Old Parliament.
There's one more event that's coming up. It's not this week, but it's December 8th. It's going to be the International Women's Association's annual Christmas Bazaar that takes place at the Sheraton Metechi. And I strongly encourage people to go. I believe it starts around 9 or 9:30 or something and goes until 6. Items go quick, so get there early. But it's a really big event. Lots of things that you can get that are made by local artisans. And
yeah, there is great stuff there. Good for Christmas.
Also for kids, family.
Yeah, kids love it. There's a lot of stuff going on. A bunch of food and embassies and all, like cool food stuff there in addition to crafts. Also, there's a couple of really good sort of article blog posts. One by Georgi Lomanadze about Okrashvili showing up. There's another great one by Molly Corso.
Lomsadze.
A great one by Molly Corso about the arrests as well. So be sure to look out for those. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tbilpod, tblpod, at gmail.com. Or post to this forum on our website, www.tbilpod.com. This week, we'll finish with Tommy James and the Shondells' 1966 hit, Hanky Panky.
My baby does the hanky panky. Baby does the hanky panky. Baby does the hanky panky. Hey, my baby does the hanky panky. My baby does the hanky panky. Hey, my baby does the hanky panky. I saw her walking on down the line. Yeah. You know I saw her for the first time. A pretty little girl. My baby does the hanky panky. 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 Walking on down the line.
Yeah.
You know I saw her for the very first time. A pretty little girl standing all alone. Hey, baby, baby, can I take you home? I never saw her, never saw her. Hey, my baby does the hanky panky. My baby.